The final entry in this series, before we go to our new one next week. I'm excited for our new one starting next week called Swimming in the Desert, and you'll hear more about that next week. But let's quickly review where we've been. I'm not going to go through every one of the first seven, but let's do a quick overview of where we've been. We've been looking at God's priorities. We've been looking at God's priorities, and God's priorities are the lost. And we saw Jesus say there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 that need no repentance. And we talked about the fact that historically, the American church has sometimes, at times, struggled with having more joy in the 99 than in the one, that we sometimes have lost focus on that which is God's heart, which is a heart for the lost. We've focused more on keeping ourselves happy and entertaining ourselves and having a great time together as Christians, and not focused on the joy of the one, rather we focus on the joy of the 99. We saw Jesus talking about the sick need a doctor, and as he was being pushed towards focusing on religious observance, how he instead focused on those who needed him. Then we asked ourselves, are we a barrier or a path? We talked about the fact that Jesus is a stumbling block, Jesus is hard. And a lot of people reject Jesus because his message is too hard. But sometimes they never meet up with Jesus because they trip over us. And it's not because we're being Christ-like. It means we're sometimes just being jerks. And we don't treat people well. And so they never get to deal with Jesus because they never get through us. We asked ourselves, are we a barrier or a path? And then we asked ourselves, do we understand the cost of coming to Christ? And that's why he's a stumbling block. Because to come to Christ means to give up, to surrender all that we have, and that sometimes we don't want to do that, and that's why people trip over Jesus. Do we understand that? We called it the cost of salt. And do we understand our need to give up ourselves? And then we ask, do we understand our own need, or do we see ourselves as different from sinners? And we saw Simon last week, who didn't understand his own regular, reoccurring need for the forgiveness and love of Jesus. And we ask ourselves, do we understand that need? And do we see ourselves as different than sinners, those people? So that's where we've been. Now, pastors can get up front and make assertions that aren't necessarily true. I'm going to think that today I'm going to get this one right. We all have an ego. I know I got one. I'm pretty sure you got one too. I'm feeling pretty safe in this one. We all have an ego, and when that ego is wounded, watch out. We feel slighted, feel unappreciated, we feel that we've been made to feel unimportant. Or, if that's not bad enough, what if it's someone we love? Our spouse, our children. You mess with my kids. Even a best friend. It can offend us, it can bother us, and watch out, because now I'm not happy. And then, if that's not bad enough, then what if you, because of a position you hold or a service you've provided, maybe years of faithful service or whatever, that you feel you've earned a certain level of respect, you've earned a certain amount of appreciation. After all the things I've done for you, right? Then our ego, it gets a little bigger, it gets a little more delicate, and the violation of that can get bad. Because, listen, nobody treats me that way. Nobody puts baby in a corner, you know? You got it. Some of you get it, some of you don't. We're going to move on. Let's pray. Good morning, Father. Lord, as we open your word now, I pray that you will speak to us, that we will hear you and we'll see you. We've been singing about you. We've been singing praises to you this morning. But Lord, help that not be about us, be about you. Help us to see you clearly and then see ourselves and hear you clearly and respond to you and allow your Holy Spirit to speak into the deep parts of our life and for us to hold nothing back, not to hold on to things that you are calling us to. So be with us as we worship together through your word this morning, as we study together, as we do this as a body together as your people. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would speak into us and that we would respond. And so be with our study now in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to John 13. This is the last week of guess who's coming to dinner. So it's the last meal, or as it's popularly known as, the Last Supper. And if you couldn't see that coming, I don't even know you anymore. John 13, the Last Supper, or the last meal. This is the last one. And we're in John 13. We're going to read 1 through 20. And so let me just read this through. John 13, 1 through 20. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, Never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, Not all of you are clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. But it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. From now on, I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Now, let's unpack this. For many of us, this is probably pretty familiar. A lot of us, some of us maybe not, but if you've grown up around the church, you're probably familiar with the story, and you're familiar with the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. But still, it's good to unpack this, because again, oftentimes we filter this through our cultural understanding, and it leads us a little off. So as we talked about last week with the banquet last week, this is a banquet. This is an important banquet, because this is related to Passover. So again, don't picture them sitting around a table. They are laying around a table on couches or pillows. So they're laying, their heads are all in the middle, and their feet are off behind them. So their feet are out like this, like spokes of a wheel. And they're laying there. And then Jesus gets up, and he goes outside the circle. He goes out to the feet area. And this isn't done. This is inappropriate. This is servile behavior. The person who washes the feet, like your host, didn't do that. The host had a slave do that, a servant, because that was beneath the dignity of a host. And Jesus isn't just another guy. He is Rabbi and Messiah. And so this is highly inappropriate for him to get up and go out to deal with the feet. Man, you just... This is, don't do this. And that's not the only thing he did. It says he also removed his outer garments. I mean, he's wearing his rabbinical robes. He's wearing, you dress up for Passover, right? And he starts taking those off. And this is highly appropriate. You don't do that. You know, it's not appropriate. There's a way to dress. And he doesn't do that. And this bothers Peter. Because Peter looks up to Jesus, you know? Peter respects Jesus, and you just don't do that. It's highly inappropriate. Peter objects. You just don't do that sort of thing. I mean, that'd be like a pastor getting undressed in church. You just don't do that. It's not appropriate. There's a way you're supposed to conduct yourself. And Peter is offended. And Peter's probably not the only one offended. But Peter is the one we know who's the one who speaks up when everybody else knows enough to at least keep their mouth shut. And Peter says, and this is where we miss it a little in our translation. He says, "You wash my feet?" And the emphasis is on you. In the original language, the "you" is emphatic. "You wash my feet?" In other words, he's objecting to that Jesus would be the one to do this because Peter's the one who's been the clearest on who Jesus is, right? Peter's been the one that's been the most responsive to the identity of Jesus, that he is Messiah, that he is God. And he goes, "You? No, this is inappropriate. You should not be taking off your garments. You should not be washing my feet." And Jesus says, "Peter, you don't get it. You don't understand now. You'll understand later." But Peter says, "You will never wash my feet. You will never do this." Because it's just, no, this is, it's Peter's uncomfortable. This made Peter very uncomfortable. "No, Jesus, no, never." And Jesus says something weird. He goes, "I have to, or you'll have no part in me." Huh, that's weird. Like, why would that be a big deal? And then Peter does something interesting, and this is where I think we also lose a little track of what I think really is happening here. And until I really studied it, I hadn't caught it. Because I think that what happens next, we tend to go, well, there goes Peter. He's always going from one extreme to the other. And so he goes from, "Don't wash my feet," to, "Give me a whole bath." Except that's not what Peter says. And I don't think that's what Peter means. And I'm going to explain to you what I think, and I'm going to show you how I think this the text supports this. Because what he says is, Peter then said to him, because first Peter said, "You'll never do this." Jesus says, "I have to. If you're going to be a part of me, then this has to happen." And then Peter says, "Okay, well then, don't just wash my feet, wash my hands and my head." He doesn't say, "Wash my whole body." He says, "Wash my hands and my head." Now, why would he say that? Well, because in preparation, we see elsewhere in the Gospels, as they were coming into Passover, one of the things they did is they prepared themselves for Passover. One of the ways that you prepared yourself for Passover ritually is you washed your hands and your head. It was a ritual that you did to prepare yourself ceremonially for Passover. And so what I think Peter's trying to do here, because he's so uncomfortable, because he doesn't like seeing Jesus in this role, because it's inappropriate. It's not befitting the rabbi. And so he tries to reframe it into something more socially acceptable, something that makes him more comfortable. And that's why he says, "Well, if you're going to do this, why don't we turn it into a ceremonial washing? Because then that's appropriate for a rabbi. Do my hands and my head, because now that's what a rabbi should be doing, and that makes me comfortable." And Jesus says, "That's not what we're doing. No, that's not what we need to do. That's not what you need. You need me to wash your feet. You don't understand." And I think Peter is trying to reframe it into something that Jesus doesn't mean, something easier to accept and deal with. Jesus says, "This is something else." And he finishes, he puts his stuff back on. "I'm not going to do that." And he asks them an interesting question. "Do you know what I have done to you?" Well, we already know that the answer is no, because he told Peter, you don't get it. You'll understand later. So even this question, as Jesus asks them, "Do you know what I've done to you?" He's asking this question for later. Because none of them are going to understand until a couple days from now, 3 days from now, when he rises from the dead and they get the whole picture. Then they'll remember this conversation and then they'll go, "Oh, that's what he was doing." But he, for later reference, he says, "Do you know what I've done for you?" I'm going to explain this so later you'll understand. And then he explains who he is. Verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord." And you're right. That's who I am. And again, I think that our translation, we don't have rabbis. That's why I was like, man, what am I going to do to explain this? So this is what I did. because he was rabbi, and in that culture, rabbi meant something. Well, just, oh, he's my teacher at school, whatever. He's rabbi. And he goes, you call me rabbi and Lord, and you're right, that's who I am. And yet I washed your feet. Even though that's who I am, look what I did. I gave you an example. And if I do this as your Lord and your rabbi, you should do it too. And he's giving them an example that will play out at the cross. He is illustrating what's about to happen. Now for us, see, the problem is there's a low that we don't want to stoop to. There is that place that's too far. I've done enough. I've sacrificed enough. I've given enough. I've had enough taken. That's enough. I've put up with enough. And there's a low that we don't want to stoop to. A level of sacrifice. A level of humiliation. A level of death. That's too far. I mean, we all have an ego, right? And a position. I'll tell you, deciding to do this was scary. I discussed it with my wife yesterday, and then I got up and got dressed and left before she woke up so she couldn't tell me no. But I was nervous. Because what do people think? Because I got an ego, and I worry about these things. Oh my word, he's taking off his clothes in church. That is so inappropriate. Yeah, it is. But that's the point. Because that's how inappropriate it was for what Jesus did. But we have this thing of there's a place we don't want to go. Some of you were at this Kids Can Know God conference where I was trying to do a conference about how pastors relate to their people. And I had a lady there who pretty much spent the entire 40 minutes of the conference arguing with me over the being called by my title. And she got mad. Because I said, yeah, but it's not about elevating the pastor. It shouldn't be all about the pastor. And you don't need to call me pastor and pastor, pastor. And she got angry. Yes, because why? The pastor needs to be up there. And that's what she kept saying. But you've got this, but you're this. I said, I'm no different than anyone else. She goes, oh, but you are. But you're the pastor. And I'm like, no, I'm not the pastor. I'm a pastor. I'm the pastor. But she couldn't get past it because, well, that's what, and she was uncomfortable, right? Because, well, that's where you go, up there, different than everyone else. And pastors, that sometimes is a good feeling. It feels good to have everyone think you're a little better than everyone else. You know, that's there are times when that feels a little good. And we have this position that we want to hold on to and say, listen, this is my thing. I mean, I'm willing to a certain extent to sacrifice, but there are limits. And we see this in Peter. What does he say? You shall never wash my feet. Never. Because this is too uncomfortable. I think we must first understand Jesus' abandonment of his position, his humiliation, and his servitude for us. How low he went. For us. And we tend to want to dodge it. Or, like Peter, let's turn it into something religious. Let's turn it into a religious exercise. You know, we'll shine up the cross and we'll make it religious. And now it's more acceptable. Except it wasn't. It was ugly. It was humiliating. It was bad. And we have to remember how bad it was. How utterly humiliating it was for Jesus. Because I think that if you cannot accept Jesus at your dirty feet, you will never accept him as your head. If you cannot accept Jesus at your dirty feet, you will never accept him at your head. And this is what Jesus is saying to Peter. And suddenly what Jesus says makes sense. Because Peter looks at Jesus and he looks up to him. He admires him. He's Rabbi. He's Messiah. And Peter says, it's too much. It's too much. It's too humiliating for you to wash my feet. But have you thought about that? Because if Peter can't handle Jesus doing something as simple, though humiliating, as washing his feet, how will Peter ever accept Jesus being tortured and killed and humiliated for his sins? Because that's worse than washing your feet. And that's what Jesus says. If you can't accept this, if you can't even let me wash your feet, you will never accept my humiliation on behalf of your sins. And that's the struggle, isn't it? To be able to look down at Jesus' humiliation at our feet. That's uncomfortable. Despised and rejected and beat up and his beard ripped out and condemned and cursed and dirty and bleeding to death on that cross, unable to save himself for us. And if you cannot accept him down there, then you're never going to have a part in him. You'll have a nice, safe Jesus. And then there's another reason. Because if you can't accept his humiliation because it's too uncomfortable, well, then there's another reason you're going to reject it next, right? Because if you cannot accept him at your feet, the next step is for you to follow him to the feet. To abandon pride, to abandon position, to abandon respect, to abandon honor, and be servile. To give it all up and to find yourself at the dirty feet. And I don't like seeing you down there, Jesus, and I don't like thinking that I could be there too. It's a step too low. It's a step too far. Does that make sense? I think that we need to understand how low he went. He was God, full of glory, full of majesty and honor. And the cross represented death. So think about how this plays out for us, because this is hard. So marriage, wives or husbands. How much do you expect me to die for that person? Do you know what kind of a jerk they can be? Do you know how much I've given already? You want me to give more? I don't deserve that. Nobody deserves to be treated this way. Parent, child. What I have to put up with from my fill in the relation. Sibling. Neighbor, co-worker. Nobody should expect me to have to put up with fellow believer. Do you know how they're treating me after all I've done for them? Verse 16, Jesus says, I'm telling you the truth. A slave is not greater than the master. You're not greater than me, guys. And I washed your feet. That's what he says. If verse 14, if I then, the Lord and the rabbi, washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's. What did he do? He stepped outside. He went out to the edge, the dirty side. And then he laid aside. And he didn't just lay aside his rabbi robes. He laid aside omnipotence and majesty and honor and glory and power. He laid it all aside. And instead of being honored, he was humiliated. Instead of being the picture of life, he became the image of death. Instead of being glorified, he was vilified. Instead of being praised, he was derided. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our sins fell on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. And he lay aside and abandoned all that was him for us. And he said, "You're not greater than me. If I'm going to wash your feet, you should do that for each other." And that's where it gets hard. That's where it gets real, isn't it? I mean, for me to do that for my wife? I mean, I'm willing to go quite a ways. But I draw the line at squash. Nobody deserves that. We draw our lines. I draw my lines with you people. How much more do you want from the pastor? Right? And I come to that point where I say, no, it's too much. And we say to each other, you shall never wash my feet. Because we don't want to see Jesus in his utter humiliation. But if you cannot accept him in his humiliation, you will never have a part of his headship. Because you'll always think you're too good for that and he's too good for you. I've been really worried. I hope I'm conveying this. I told Sarah I've been very scared about this message because this is a big thought. This is a hard thing to wrap our brain around. To understand that to look up to Jesus, you got to look down at him. You got to accept him at your dirty feet. And when we come to the foot of the cross, we come there knowing he was there first and that he was humiliated for you. And as you understand each day his utter humiliation, as you see him washing your feet, it becomes a lot harder to say no to the things you shouldn't say no to. It becomes a lot harder to stand up for your rights when he didn't stand up for his. For you to say, I'm not going to serve you any further and I'm not going to love you anymore because I'm done. Because you'll look down and Jesus is at your feet going, I didn't say that. I'm washing your feet. Let me wash your feet. Because if you don't let me wash your feet, you can have no part in me. You call me Rabbi and Lord, and so that I am. And I have washed your feet. And now, wash each other's. Let's pray. Oh, Father, this is hard. This is hard. It's more fun to preach than live. To give ourselves away, as you did. We sang the overwhelming, reckless love of God that you gave yourself away. We hold part of ourselves back. We set a limit to what can be given. We're concerned about people taking rather than our ability to give everything. And we begin to worry about what we can save, not who can be saved. You did not withhold anything. You emptied yourself of everything. You who did not spare your own son for our salvation, how may we say no? And Lord, that's tough. We are going to struggle with this. Because like Peter, we want to look at you and say, you'll never wash our feet. But a ceremonial washing would be great, God. Some religious to make ourselves feel better would be fine. But not the humiliation and death of the cross. at our hands and because of our actions. Undeserved, unworthy, ungrateful. And you died for us while we were still rotten. Lord, may that be our heart with one another. I pray for the marriages sitting in this room, including the broken ones. For the broken relationships between parent and child, child and parent, between sibling, between brothers and sisters in Christ, between us and the world, where we have put a limit on the price that we would pay. Forgive us and lead us back down to the foot of the cross. And may we wash one another's feet as you washed ours. Thank you, Father, for your patience with us as you were patient with your first disciples, giving us time to understand and an example to follow. Thank you for being highly inappropriate for our sake, so that we might know your love. Move us forward in the way of the cross. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. When I serve